The question that he begins the book of Ecclesiastes with in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3, is what advantage, what profit, what lasting meaning are our efforts in this life? And he uses the words under the sun or under heaven. What are our efforts that we do each day? What's the value of them? And he concludes in 1 verse 2 that it's all vanity. It's all useless. There's no advantage under the sun in this physical life. And this Solomon, who wrote these 12 chapters, wants those people at that time and the people of today and the people after our time here, as long as the earth exists, to understand that there's value in living each day, even though our years are short. And it is not a useless time. It's a time where we can do good to others, that we can have morals that guide our lives, and that, as we'll see at the end of the 12th chapter, and even some points that I'll go over in a minute, that those things will affect our eternity after a few short-lived years here. Solomon, in this book, he talks a lot about everyday life. He talks about perspectives. And I was thinking about that. This is an excellent, excellent lesson on for anybody in this world, really under any religion, that in life we have complexities that we live under. And sometimes we make them more complex than they should be. But beyond that, we have a life that has value and that we're put here for a purpose. And God sustains us here by a purpose. And that God provides those things in this life, okay, that affect us in this life. So there's value in learning these principles. There's value in seeing these really exact examples that he gives us on how you relate to government, how to relate to the world, the universe, what's our relationship from one to another, attitudes in living. And it's not useless, the life we have now. It has value. And again, life under the sun, as Solomon portrays, ends when our life is over. And so we need to make the best that we can with this chance we have for these very short years, no matter what age we are, make the use of our time. And he's given us some hints of that in four verses so far in the book. And I'd like to go over them briefly. And these really answer the questions on page 25, questions 7 through 12. You know, what's the advantage? It's all useless. And in Ecclesiastes, back in chapter 2, there is nothing better for a person than to eat and drink and show himself some good in his trouble. This too I have seen, and that it is from the hand of God. For who can get, who can eat, and who can have enjoyment without him? The word enjoy keeps popping up. And talking about life under the sun. And in chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice, to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every person who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. This is the gift of God. in chapter 3, verse 22, I have seen that nothing is better than when a person is happy in his work or his activities, for that is his lot. And the last one in chapter 5, which we're in tonight, which concludes this chapter, which we'll go over those verses in a moment, 18, verse 5, 18 to the end. Here is what I have seen to be good and fitting: to eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in one's labor, in which he labors under the sun during the few years of his life, which God has given him, for this is his reward. Furthermore, in verse 19, as for every person to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also given him opportunity to enjoy them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he will not often call to mind the years of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy in his heart. All these stress the point, through the writings of Solomon, who was guided by the Holy Spirit of God, that as we live a life, I can't really say this enough, as we live life, enjoy where you're at in life, whether it's in youth or in older age, sickness and in health, whether it's in politics or no politics, whether it's those things that tend to how we react to other people. Try to see good in those. Try to act good and moral, because we can enjoy life here. It's interesting with my sister, and I've even had it with my dentist, some of the questionnaires you go through when they're setting up an account and that sort of thing, and there's more than one question dealing with your mental state of mind. Do you feel depressed all the time? Do you have questions about, is your life worth it? Do you take medicines that deal with the great anxieties in life? And these are things that are good questions, but we can overcome those. We can deal with those anxieties in life, those pressures of emotion, if we try to look for what's good, what's a teaching moment, I guess you'd say. And again, keep things in perspective. Suicide is not the answer. And it's high anxieties and things like that are contagious. So we need to watch those. But again, as he stated in these four examples in the book of Ecclesiastes, enjoy life where you're at. Rich or poor, if you're oppressed or not, you can see good in those. I know the reports that we get from Africa and Nigeria and the Philippines and that sort of thing. Wow, can they live like that? Can they live with, a little rice every day or whatever it is, okay, under the oppression that may come from Muslims in those areas, that sort of thing? Can they live that way? Yes, they're living that way. It's not easy in those situations. But if you see some joy in the life in your family, you see joy in the life that you have in eternity that awaits you, you can overcome a lot of that, maybe all of it. So again, it goes back to perspective and attitude in life. So just a thought that the wisdom of Solomon has written down for all ages until the end of time. And I've learned a lot, okay, so far in this class concerning this, and we can always learn more. But again, attitude and perspective will keep that, especially with medical issues and even the advance of older age, okay, job prospects, whatever it is. I appreciate Brandon for his good attitude that he kept while he was incarcerated. We, and many of us, maybe all of us, have supported him during that time, especially his family. And he kept the perspective right. Even though his attitude may have slowed sometimes.
Very little.
I could see. But it is a good example for all of us. And a good man to talk to concerning that. So there's things in life that we can see examples of. So keep the right attitude. And again, that's what he puts throughout this book. Now, in chapter 5, at the end of chapter 5, in 18, 19, and 20, the headline for that, enjoy the life God has given you. And I read those verses to you a moment ago. And what's interesting too in chapter 5, and especially the last few verses, the word God appears four times in these few verses in 18 through 20. And he's adding that in, that perspective there, that there is something else involved in your life. God, deity. And he wants you to understand that and for me to understand that. Enjoy life, which I just read. And again, all this perspective, again, is under the sun. Everyday life. Because that's really all we have, is everyday life. Can we waste our time from time to time? Sure we do, okay? Yeah, who cares about football this afternoon, right? But that's important and to a degree, okay? But you need to work that in. And knowing also that, like in the first verse of 18, the providence of God is involved in our lives. I don't know how it works. But God can provide situations that we have a chance to react to those situations. And if we react correctly, or react with the best of our abilities at that moment, God understands that. Providence is an interesting word. We know that nature and planets and things like that control it also in our lives. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, man wants to rush that sometimes and wants to try to understand it. But God does things in his own time. And that's what we have to understand also. But again, take advantage of opportunities that you have. And in verse 19 of chapter 5, furthermore, interesting, furthermore, and adding to that what I've just said, for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. If you're blessed with things that give you funds or opportunities to do additional things that others enjoy those, understand that they are gifts of God. Improved health, whatever it is, enjoy those. Because don't be ashamed of those or degrade those things. We may have difficulties in walking and maneuvering. But guess what? You're still walking and maneuvering. And so those sort of things are good to understand. Those are things that we can see the good side of. In verse 20, for he will not often consider the years of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. And that's exactly what I'm saying, the gladness of your heart in living each day. Knowing that I am here, that I have opportunities to encourage others, opportunities to help others in ways that they may never know. I can, by being a good example. And, you know, it can be, and that gives you a good life. It gives you a good life, a joyful life, a life with purpose, a life with meaning. is if one is glad of living every day. So that's it, some of these transitions that Solomon is doing here. And again, all the negative things that he has up to this point, we need to consider them in life. Because evil comes. Evil comes. Now, anything that I hope I've dealt with chapter 5 in that manner. Yes, ma'am. Jamie has used a good word here multiple times, warning. And God is warning us that if we don't enjoy life under the sun, that there'll be vexation in our life. There'll be sorrow in our life. There'll be confusion in our life. There'll be things that could cause us to be sick. It can cause us to get into trouble where we shouldn't be, places we shouldn't be. And again, that goes back to the attitude that we need to feel good about ourselves, that we are created in the image of God. And we're so very special in creation that we need to understand that. And I think it's a good point that Jamie's done. These are warnings also, in addition to telling us to enjoy life. Consider.
In other words, sometimes we get so busy, though, that we don't consider the important things. You know, consider your ways. I hope we'll talk about that in the Old Testament about the Israelites. Because God's going to hold them in judgment. We get so wrapped up in the things of this life with our children and enjoying life, which is good, and everything. We don't consider how fast time is passing. And it's, where did all the time go?
Yes.
One day you wake up and your children are grown. Your children are gone. You're old. You know, where did it all go? You know, and so we need to consider while we're having that gladness and enjoying life, the important things.
For those who didn't exactly hear it for the audio, Linda talks about consider your actions and your steps in this life, and your mental ability, that, and when you consider that, sure, this is where you're at this moment in time, but consider where you've been and where you're going. And you can get so wrapped up in the things that's going to happen that you forget what's happening today and your attitudes today. And you know, sometimes the future will take care of itself. And it depends on God's providence to deal with that. And again, don't live in the past. Live in the present. Live in the present and enjoy life. Yes, sir.
Our sin is caused problems. But there's many things to figure this blessing.
Jesus said we are to be good and faithful servants. And that extends to everyone we meet, to the God that is living, to His servants, and to ourselves. And there's nothing wrong at all in being a servant. At least consider that when you have relations with others or entities or whatever it is. So those are good things to consider. Okay? Thank you, Craig. Okay? All right. Chapter 6 is a little more structured. And as we can see, it's dealing with, again, enjoying life. But there's some evils out there, prevalent evil. And that is, we don't have enjoyment in life. We get wrapped up in wealth. Acquiring wealth, we get wrapped up in the great joys of family, we get wrapped up in politics, get wrapped up in sports, get wrapped up in a lot of things that take our time. And when time is used for things that don't give us joy and don't give us the perspective that we need, then we're wasting our time. Vanity. So in chapter 6, it starts off in the first half there, that there's an evil out there, a prevalent evil, a common evil, meaning something bad, okay? And it really talks about three men or three circumstances. And we kind of see it progress as we go through these verses. The first one is this man does not enjoy the wealth that God has given him. And we'll look at those verses. The second one is he does not enjoy the family that God has given him. And the third is he does not enjoy the time that God has given him. So we got wealth or things, family, and time. And as we look at the first verse, it says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun and is prevalent among men, a man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all he desires. But God has empowered him to eat from them, for a foreigner enjoys them. This is vanity. Here's this first man. He's got the wealth. He buys things. He has things. Okay? And God has empowered him to eat from those and enjoy those. But in life under the sun, things happen. And like it says here, a foreigner enjoys them. One who didn't accumulate those, didn't work for those. And think how that would make you feel, or I feel. Okay? And this man feels he's acquired that, and maybe acquired it righteously and godly. But there are people in life that lose it to a foreigner. Okay? Foreigner, me, one with a scam on the internet, okay? It may mean during war, things are taken over. It may mean a lot of things. So there's that first man. And is that not life under the sun? I think maybe if we live long enough, we've been caught up in some of these scams or bad deals or whatever you want to call it. So be prepared in life. That's what happens sometimes. That's what happens. And again, that can sadden you, give you great anxiety, and divert your mind, your perspectives, away from what's enjoyable. Well, it's gone. I don't want to brood over that for a year or two. Who knows? Just move on. If you lose control of things, move on. And let's see. This is at the end of verse 2. This is vanity and severe affliction. You know, it's severe, interesting word he used here. And that's this misery thing. Again, I touched on that a moment ago about it can really get great anxieties in your life. But again, if you can't affect it anymore, move on. Move on. Now, in verse 3, if a man, I'm going to call this a second man. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, he does not even have a proper burial. Now, I'm not saying these things relate to David or not, but it's a figure that's a large figure. Even if you have a large family, does that affect your perspective? Are you going to lose the joy of having a large family? And again, in the next part of that, a long life, live many years to accumulate this wealth. Okay? So you're getting very blessed, I guess I'd say. And here's this man who has that. Now, however many may be, but his soul is not satisfied. He doesn't take the long view of his life. He's just trying to have satisfaction now while he's living. But does not even have a proper burial. He's so busy accumulating. I guess Solomon's seen this, okay? That with the children, wealth, and all that sort of thing, accumulating wealth, you forget to plan your funeral. And in those days, you know, you'd have big crypts and stones and that kind of thing. And isn't that, that's great preoccupation, isn't it? Okay, I guess that's a big oversight. And what happens when that you don't plan your end of life? Someone else does it. And if you were standing there, I wouldn't have done it that way. Doesn't matter. You're gone. So, yes, ma'am. Or didn't enjoy life. Yeah.
And didn't cultivate that relationship with his children because he was so busy focused on more things, more that there was no relationship with his children to give him the proper burial. They were not there.
It may be. Dawn's talk, again, the interpretation. But yeah, it's so focused with his children, Dawn is saying that. Even they didn't have time to give him a proper burial. And if you raise children like you, trying to acquire great wealth, without the proper priorities, shouldn't you expect them to act the same way? No, it's a heritage thing that to think about, no matter how you interpret those verses. But there are certainly things that Solomon has seen and things that, again, take joy away from our life, okay, in a proper perspective. And at the middle of verse 3, then I say, better the miscarriage than he, I'm going to say the third man, for it comes in futility and goes into obscurity. His name is covered in obscurity. Well, that's some big words. If this is the way your life's going to end up, you know, this will be a miscarriage. Maybe never to have been born. Life under the sun. But this is how it's ended up, with no planning, with striving for great wealth, with a neglect of the things that are important. And again, this is some wisdom that we see Solomon talking about. And again, it continues in verse 5. Yet this miscarriage never sees the sun and never knows anything. Is it better off than he, that second man? And just stresses that point in that single verse. That really, it's best, again, never to see the sun. Never experience life. If that's the way it's going to end up, under the sun. So again, this is to reinforce our perspective on how we live this life. And again, Solomon can take that to heart too, I believe. Now, in verse 6, this third man, even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice and does not enjoy good things, do not all go to one place. Even if he lives in 2,000 years, will anything change? Because even if he lives that great life, he doesn't enjoy it, which is the teaching of Solomon and God's will. Family wealth, no wealth, poor. The point, if he doesn't enjoy the life that God has given him as a gift. Because at the end of it all, under the sun, we all go to one place, the grave. The grave. And again, that's what Solomon's teaching here. Okay? If you had all the time in the world, would you change? Would you change? That's a sad point. But again, for us to think about. Because we can perceive time. We can perceive time. So, that's that. Now, in verses chapter 6, 7 through 9, and this kind of goes in the last part. Man has a great appetite and great desires for things. And is he ever satisfied? And again, Solomon has seen this, maybe in his own life, probably. Okay? Are you ever satisfied? Are your desires ever satisfied? And he deals that. And it says, all a man's labor, in verse 7, is for his mouth. And yet the appetite is not satisfied. Verse 8, for what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? If they both have that great appetite, then there is no advantage. What advantage does the poor man have? Knowing how to walk before the living. Poor man's an interesting. There'll be no advantage unless he tries to enjoy life before he dies. I think sometimes if you're poor, you may think more about the end of life than you do if you're rich. And so at least the possibility is there for the poor man. Okay, or the oppressed man. Okay, to think more about the end of life. And again, hopefully make some changes or at least work on his perspective. Verse 9. What the eyes see, that's his possessions, is better than. Again, you can watch out for the words better and better than. It really puts things in a contrast. What the eye sees is better than what the soul desires. I'm going to say that's what you dream of. This too is futility and a striving after wind. You know, it's better to be satisfied with your possessions your eyes than to dream into the future about something greater or grander or greater desires. Yet, it's all striving after wind. Yet all still be unsatisfied. This too is futile, striving after wind. Again, a reason for the evil, the bad judgments. So he's talked about these reasons here. And we have appetites. Maybe our appetites should be for good. Appetite to be in perspective, to be introspective, and to consider the things that are needed that make life enjoyable. So that's that. Now, in chapter 6, verses 10 and 12, question 11, page 28. The attitude that compounds this evil, not to enjoy life. It's futile and foolish to fight against man's effects and against nature and against his limitations. It's an attitude that compounds this. And he goes into that a few verses to deal with that. And interesting, verse 10. Whatever exists has already been named, and it is known what man is, for he cannot dispute with him, God, who is stronger than he is. Again, some references here to the Creator, to a God. And does God made you and I from dust? Does he not know what's best for us? Does he not explain to us in this book an attitude that we need to have, to enjoy life here? And if you enjoy life here, does that not include the things, the Creator? Does that not include enjoy the things that God has created and by providence is a gift for you each day? So he's talking about that point now. And God is beyond us. Whatever exists has already been named. And it's known what man is. God has already told us that. And are we smarter than our Creator, God? No, we cannot. We cannot equate ourselves with that. But glimpses into his wisdom explained to us is good. And he gives us that proper respect because he has named things. And man is less than God. The richest man in the world, or the president of a great country or armed forces, do you not think you're godlike? L-I-G-H-D, all right? That's a perspective that we need to keep in mind when we have, if we're ever in a position or a position to influence others who are, who have power. So it's in this, in verse 11, here's another attitude which hinders our joy. For there are many words and things which increase futility, vanity. What then is the advantage to man? The more man's words dispute against his nature and earthly and spends his time on things, the more he proves his inferiority. Again, God is greater than I am. And I cannot equate myself with God. And you can see how Solomon could get that idea with all the wisdom God has granted him, the blessings of life, and the peace in his realm, the untold riches that he has. For I am it. I am the top of the heap. If I want to build a Tower of Babel, I'll build it. Okay? And that's perspective we need to fear and have in our mind. Verse 12, for who knows what is good for a man in, during his lifetime, during the few years of his futile life? He will spend them as a shadow. Who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? No one can. Man can't tell what your life's going to be after you're gone. God knows that, the Creator. And again, that's another perspective to deal with. Because we're only here for a short time. Our life is like a shadow. If you notice a shadow you're walking, it may follow you, but it was there and now it's not there anymore. And so we need to understand, again, we have a short life here. Make the best of it. And now, that's chapter 6. And we'll call that, we'll begin chapter 7 next Wednesday. Appreciate your time. Continue reading. Any questions, please let me know. Thank you. Bless you.